play that fanfare once a week, that means it's time for us to go to the movies with Matt Olien, our movie reviewer. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Craig.
Welcome back to Main Street, Matt. Here's the movie we're going to take a look at today.
So, Maxine, your agent tells us you're quite a popular name in adult film and entertainment. Is that correct? I'm curious, did you always want to be in that line of work?
I always wanted to be famous.
If you need to read off the sides we gave you, just go ahead, all right?
I know the lines.
She turns to the camera and, through her trauma, addresses the lens directly.
All right, Matt, we know it's Maxine is what we're going to review today. You've been kind of lukewarm or worse for our last two movie reviews. How's Maxine?
This is good. And if you look at the title of the movie, Craig, it's Maxine with three X's, and they're all capitalized. So, yes, our heroine, Maxine Max, is now working in the porn industry in L.A. in 1985. And this is the third of a trilogy by writer-director Ty West with his star Mia Goth, who's amazing. It started with the film X, okay, which is like this, you know, they're shooting this porno in late 70s, you know, down south in Texas, and a strange older couple lives there. And then came Pearl, which was the backstory of the old lady in X, also played by Mia Goth. I don't think this movie is quite as good as X and Pearl. Pearl's my favorite of the three. It had this kind of weird Wizard of Oz cinematography quality. It takes place around World War I. And then X has this kind of like you're watching a 70s porn film. Not that you and I sit around and do that, but it was shot on film. You know, porn movies used to be shot on film, and then eventually they switched to video. So it kind of has that late 70s kind of muddy film feel. This one takes place in L.A. 1985. Little more of a high gloss here. Now that these are successful movies, we have bigger stars. Kevin Bacon plays a private investigator who chews the scenery in his performance. He's trying to find Maxine for a client. We kind of know who that client is. You have to go see the movie. Bobby Cannavale, Michelle Monaghan are detectives in L.A. trying to solve the Night Stalker murders, which are going on at the same time where young women are being murdered. So a little more high gloss look now. Bigger stars, but again, Mia Goth is the focus. She is a porn actress who wants to do legitimate movies, and through a series of breaks, she gets a chance to audition for a horror movie. But the plot involves the Night Stalker murders. There's women being murdered. There's acquaintances of Maxine being murdered. How does she navigate this? How does she stay alive? How does she take matters into her own hands? Even though I think it's the weakest of the three, it's still very entertaining. The slasher moments that happen, specifically involving one with Maxine and a guy who's kind of stalking her in Hollywood, is pretty gruesome. So slasher fans will enjoy that. Even though I think it's the weakest of the three, I did find it entertaining. Mia Goth is great, again, as Maxine, who wants to be a star at all costs. And I think, too, what specifically X and Pearl and now this has done, they've taken a character who kills people. I mean, we saw X, right? She kills people in that movie. She's a porn actress, but yet the audience kind of cheers for her. So it becomes kind of a bizarre female empowerment movie around this porn star who has killed people. So it's kind of an interesting audience manipulation, but you end up kind of cheering for her and cheering for her ambition to be a big star. So liked it. I think it's the weakest of the three, but I do. If you've seen X and Pearl, you got to go see this.
Will there be more in the series, Matt?
That's a good question. I have not heard that Ty West and Mia Goth want to do a fourth one. They certainly could. There's room here at the end, once you go see it and see what I'm talking about, to have a fourth film. I'm not sure if that's what they're going to do or not. I will say a nice supporting performance, Elizabeth Debicki, British actress, who plays the horror director Elizabeth Bender, who kind of, you know, Maxine auditions for this horror movie to try to get out of the porn industry. That's a really good performance, too. A lot of good things going on in this movie. You feel like you're in L.A. in the mid-80s. You know, kind of the soundtrack, all of that works as well. So I do recommend this. Didn't love it, but I think it's good. Pearl, I loved. I think it's the best of the three. And if you're going to see these and you haven't seen them yet, watch X first, then Pearl, then go to Maxine in the theater.
Maxine still is in the theater
as
we speak today.
It is.
All right, Matt, we want to reflect backwards a little bit. You and I had talked about a Kevin Costner series just a week or two ago. You made a not so bold but very, very accurate prediction. Bring us up to date.
So Horizon and American Saga, as I reviewed it, it's a mess. It's a mess of a movie. It's 3 hours. It's a tough sit. And it was part one of what was supposed to be four parts to this kind of Kevin Costner's tribute to the Move West, the American West, kind of his tribute to the movie How the West Was Won, which was heavily impacted him as a kid when he saw it in 1963. But the film didn't make a lot of money. The ending of the film is confusing. The film is a mess. There's too many characters. And now we are learning that part two, which was set to be released in August, has been pulled from theaters.
It's already shot, already
edited. Can you imagine the money that was spent to finish and shoot this movie, and now it's not going to be in theaters? So this is going to go down as Kevin Costner's folly. I think he misread The Room, misread what people are willing to go see in a theater these days. It probably should have been a TV series. He wanted it on the big screen. And I had a friend on Facebook who is a film friend who said, oh, this is bad news because people need to see this stuff in theater. And I said, true, but it's also on Kevin Costner. It's his responsibility to put out a good product, and he did not do that. He put out a confusing, messy movie, and this is going to go down as Kevin Costner's folly for sure. I didn't like the first film. I think my instincts were right to trash it, that it was a mess, and I think that the film industry and the people who saw it also think it's a mess because there's no audience for it.
What happens now? Does this get repackaged and streamed then to try to rescue a little bit of fiscal accountability here?
I don't know. And parts three and four, which have not been shot yet, mercifully for Kevin Costner, he put a lot of his own money into this too. So I think this is a cautionary tale for, I admire his ambition to be an auteur and to try to put his vision on the screen, but it's also a cautionary tale. You got to read The Room. And in a post-COVID environment, it's a tough sell to have people go to four straight three-hour Western movies without being able to see them back-to-back like you can when you're streaming a TV series. And I'm a movie guy. I'm not a TV guy. I'm a movie guy to this day. But this was a huge misfire on his part. And I was... When it first announced that he was going to do this, I thought, you don't have John Wayne, and this is 2024, not 1964, you know?
The Duke is no longer with us.
No, he's not.
All right, Matt, what else are we working on this summer?
Well, Long Legs. I'll review Long Legs next week, another horror movie, and there's a lot of them right now. That stars Nicolas Cage and some other people. That's going to be a really interesting one. Musica, I'm going to review that in a couple weeks. That's on Amazon. And then we have Deadpool and Wolverine. That's coming up soon as well.
Matt, if I were to ask you right now what the most popular genre is for theater viewing, is it horror movies as we speak?
I think it's the most reliable one. Now, you have horror movies that don't make money, but Maxine is, you know, doing pretty well. People have seen X and Pearl. Long Legs is doing really well, which with its first opening. I think it did $20 million. And I just saw it, and I'll review that next week, so I don't want to give away too much. But it's the most reliable genre because you have a built-in audience of young adults, kids, going to these movies. If you sprinkle a big star in like Mia Goth and Nick Cage, that helps too.
But personally, the fact that slasher movies do well is a little troubling, Matt.
Well, it's not a movie.
Not my favorite genre. Yes, that is true. It is a movie. All right, let's go to some Oscar trivia, Matt. I'm going to give you a hint in a little bit of a different way. In 2009, the Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery acquired four Oscar statuettes. Four is the clue from this actress. It was a gift from her estate. They're now on view in the 20th Century America's Gallery on the museum's third floor next to a 1982 portrait of this actress by artist Everett Raymond Kinsler, which she termed her favorite. Four is the clue.
Katharine Hepburn.
That's
She's
right.
The only actress or actor to win four acting Oscars. And she famously never showed up for any of the awards, but she didn't refuse them the way Brando and George C. Scott did, but she just didn't. I think she only came to one Oscar ceremony her whole life, something like that.
Honestly, the only movie that I have seen with Katharine Hepburn was On Golden Pond
okay.
in the theater.
Yeah. All right,
Matt, name the other three.
Morning Glory, 1933, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, 1967, and then she won for The Lion in Winter, 1968.
We've been to the movies with Matt Olien. Matt, thanks for joining us again on Main Street.
You bet.
More Main Streets ahead. Stay with us.